It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Duke can't hold for the rest of the half, but Flagg is dribbling on the March Madness logo. Now he's driving, and a shot on the way. It's good, and the foul. Quick first step and a late reaction from Aiden Sherrell trying to stop him is going to give Flagg a chance at a three-point play.
That sounds great. San Antonio sounds great. Couldn't be more excited and happy for these guys to my left. I think Tyrese and I, the feeling of losing last year at this point, every decision we made, everything we did was to get back here and then have the team have the opportunity to advance to the promised land, to go to San Antonio, to go to the Final Four.
There you go. That was Cooper Flagg basically putting the final touches on a Duke win over Alabama, courtesy of the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, and then head coach John Shire describing losing last year in the Elite Eight and now how it feels to be on his way to the Final Four. I'm beyond impressed with Shire. 3 years after Coach K retires, he's got this team as the number one, one of the four number ones, but as the odds-on betting favorite to win this entire tournament. Doing that in the shadow of Coach K, I think, is super impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously any Coach K in the Final Four is impressive. Would you say he's the most impressive job here out of the four, though? I could think you could easily make an argument it's the least impressive job out of the four because he's got the most talent.
See, this is tough, right? Because when you look at Bruce Pearl of Auburn or Kelvin Sampson at Houston, the assignment was very different, right? The assignment to take over a Houston program that had fallen on some harder times, or to take over an Auburn program that is, Charles Barkley, was the most famous Auburn basketball player.
Oh, let's not forget the rifleman, Chuck Person.
And Chuck Person, thank you. But, they had never had real basketball success. So for these two coaches to kind of bring the programs to where they are now is beyond impressive. Todd Golden, yeah, it's impressive too, but Shire was under a different kind of pressure. Billy Donovan left a long time ago. Todd Golden is not coaching in the shadow of Billy Donovan, even though he won back-to-back titles, but it was a while ago. Yeah, I'm most impressed by Shire.
Yeah, I mean, I I'm impressed by Shire, but I would probably say Golden is more impressive because he's taking a lesser team. I mean, just eyeball Florida and eyeball Duke. I would think this run is more impressive. And also, Houston and Auburn. Auburn just seems, we'll see how this plays out. I think Bruce Pearl's done an amazing job there. And I think Kelvin Sampson's done an amazing job. It just feels weird to me. Shire has the best player in the field, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Probably two of the, maybe three of the top five or six players in college basketball. So it feels weird to say the guy with all the thoroughbreds is the most impressive coaching job.
But meanwhile, in this day and age, like recently, freshmen have not really been the thing. And here's John Shire with these young guys. Cooper Flagg turned 18, like in December. He's super, super young.
Yeah. By the way, again, Duke has not won the title yet.
That is true, though they are the betting favorite. We're also asking you this morning, with the Final Four of Duke playing Houston and then Auburn and Florida, would you take Duke or the field? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And how impressed are you with John Shire? Perloff kind of saying, listen, it's the program. The program recruits itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, if they had hired Tommy Amaker,
he was the runner-up.
Do you not think that they would have been able to get a Cooper Flagg, for example, or get the top recruits? I think they still could have had a lot of... Yeah, Amaker would have been great. All those guys. Woj. I mean, you could have had a million coaches who could have done well there. I don't think Shire is uniquely better than all those other coaches.
Tough argument, right?
Because they're all really good. There are a lot of good coaches.
We're never going to know, right? I mean, could someone be doing a better job than Hubert Davis right now at North Carolina? Again, we're not going to know unless Hubert Davis somehow is, you know, he's going to be on the hot seat, I think, even going into next season. And North Carolina is a team that you would think, well, the program recruits itself. Don't you just need a call from Vince Carter and Michael Jordan? And all of a sudden, even for young people today, like Michael Jordan gives you a call, and I'm sure he'd be willing to do that, right? Doesn't that matter? Doesn't that hold a lot of weight? I think it does. Especially with the parents.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like Duke's had a little more major, major talent than North Carolina over the last 10, 15 years. I remember because North Carolina won with Psycho T, Tyler Hansbrough, stayed 4 years, was not where Duke all of a sudden flipped a switch and became the one and done school like Kentucky.
In many ways, they kind of flipped like roles, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Duke used to be the old team.
Yeah, Carolina became the old team. They had McDonald Americans, but guys who had stayed 3-4 years. Yeah. And Duke was a team with the one and done McDonald Americans. So in many ways, they've kind of flipped roles from where they were in the 90s.
I just think a Duke with the recent Duke, Paolo Banchero, Zion Williamson, Jason Tatum, Cooper Flagg. Sure. I mean, it is a superstar program. It's in a way as impressive as the Kentucky teams, although the Kentucky teams went 5 superstars, Steve. Duke goes 2 or 3.
888-710-4ISN. So again, got all 4 number one seeds. First time since 2008. You mentioned Psycho T. He was on that 2008 North Carolina team with Ty Lawson and Wayne Ellington. You'll remember that. That was UNC, Kansas, Memphis, and UCLA. Now we get Duke, Houston, Auburn, and Florida. So you're welcome to weigh in on John Shire. And are you impressed with what he's doing? Or is this just Duke rolling along? I mean, in the age of NIL, I don't know if people are as precious or are going to be, maybe in the future. We're still young in this NIL world. You know, does the mystique of the program matter? And that's kind of on the football side, too. You know, are the Ohio States and the Notre Dames, are they still going to hold this, like, elevated status?
Well,
but the Texases, like, are we still getting that? Or is it just, hey, who's giving me the most money?
Yeah, I mean, those schools do actually have a lot of money, too. So it's tied in. Ohio State, you can't ignore their budget this year.
Sure. But SMU has a lot of money. We know Texas A&M has had a lot of money for a long time.
Right. I think Ohio State, with that $20 million influx, is the reason they won the title this year. Otherwise, a lot of guys would have left. So, and I think Duke probably has a lot of money as well. I imagine you can't outspend Duke. Duke spent a lot in football. There's money galore. Think about it. Half those programs fuel Wall Street. I'm sure there's so much money coming in. I mean, the cliche about Duke is that.
Yeah, I'm sure the lacrosse program.
Yeah, the lacrosse program immediately goes straight to Wall Street.
Wow. Yeah. Listen, I know a couple people play Duke lacrosse. They're not hurting. Yeah,
I think there is one thing, too, that maybe a lot of folks don't realize as well, but Nike's funneling guys to Duke. And that's a big issue as well. What the shoe companies want and who they're, especially now that you're talking
legally.
Yeah, now it's legal, right? And now we have guys who have NIL. But that's a huge thing, too. Nike is a huge, huge Duke school. It's probably their most important school, which is crazy considering Jordan Brand, of course, North Carolina, but Duke is number one. So that is a big deal as well.
The AU pipeline is very real.
Mm-hmm.
Duke got the, I assume they had the number one class this year, right?
Yeah, they had 2 guys who were top 4. Duke Flagg and Malawak were both.
And do they?
7'2".
You mentioned next year they have some talent coming in, too.
And next year they're going to have the best class. Next year's class might be better.
I looked at the top 10 rated recruiting classes of like the last 20 years, and Duke is 8 of 10. So they've obviously had a recruiting advantage. And I think it seems to continue even with NIL.
Let us know what you think. 888-710-4ISN. Are you giving credit to John Shire for getting to the Final Four in his third season after taking over from Coach K? Or do you feel this is just the continuation of the Duke program as a juggernaut? We mentioned Carlos Boozer has a pair of twins who are going to be going to Duke next year. So rich get richer. Okay, we've got some football news for you. We want to get to that. It's the coaches are all meeting in Palm Beach. It's one of the annual meetings. So you're going to get a lot of news about maybe rule changes. Perloff extremely nervous. The tush push could be going the way of the dinosaur.
I'm not nervous. I'm disappointed in America.
America or the coaches? What does America have to do with it? We didn't do
everybody,
anything.
Yes, you did. Everybody's whining. Oh, I hate the tush push. It's unfair. It's unfair to be physically dominated by the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, if it was any other team but Philly, I'd say keep it. I'm just kidding.
It's funny that your Bills use it, but your hate for Philly.
No, it's not even that. I don't really hate Philly. It's just my Bills use it, but they don't use it as well as your team. Like, they're doing it a lot, but it's not working all the time. And I feel like it's going to lead to Josh Allen getting hurt. So I don't love it. But the biggest news so far coming out of these meetings is Mike Tomlin getting a chance to meet the media and essentially saying this. No timeline on Aaron Rodgers, didn't give him a deadline, and he refuses to call Aaron Rodgers plan A. He's like, it's not a plan A, there's no plan B, there's no plan C. That's what he's saying. He better hope that Aaron Rodgers gets on board, because plan B is a mystery. Honestly, like what, maybe Kirk Cousins you have to trade for, who the Atlanta would know that you are desperate now, right? You don't want to go into the season with Mason Rudolph. That's not going to get you where you need to go. And then you're picking.
You know, that sucked.
You're picking 21st, so you have no clue who's going to be available as far as quarterbacks when we get that far down to the draft, unless you want to trade up, in which case, like, now we're investing some major draft capital.
But let's look big picture. You said that there's, you know, it seems like the worst case scenario is that they don't get Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I think there are some Steelers fans who think the best case scenario is to have no quarterback and finally rip the Band-Aid and rebuild this team.
Well, then trade T.J. Watt. Like, if you're going to rebuild, don't you really go for it?
I don't know why you would trade T.J. Watt. You want bringing your Jaden Daniels next year. You might as well keep one or two guys around.
Are you sure you're getting that high in the draft? Do you think that the Steelers could be bad enough they're picking second?
Well, honestly, who's their quarterback if it's not Rodgers?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe they'd probably turn to Cousins. I think eventually they would, because I don't think their owner wants to lose. Like, I don't.
Wait, did Flacco sign somewhere? Am I imagining?
I
can't remember. Some old quarterback signed somewhere. Maybe I'm thinking of Russ, but I think Flacco's available too.
To believe Flacco, A, would make it through a full season, and two, I just think this is not even Flacco of 2 years ago. Now we're 2 years ago removed from Flacco.
How about Jalen Milroe and run a wing T? Just hand off every Mike Tomlin will be in heaven.
Yes, I know. They also, apparently they've been working out all the quarterbacks. Yep. They've been meeting with all of them. And you want to know what's funny? Mike Tomlin, I actually want to get the quote. He was asked about Notre Dame, Texas, and Ole Miss. And his quote was, I think all three of those institutions have quarterbacks that are draft eligible. Wow, thank you, coach. Riley Leonard, Will Howard, and Quinn Ewers. Any of those guys. Oh, and Jackson Dart, probably. They're scheduled to host him. And we know that they already had dinner with Milroe. Man, does Riley Leonard not also seem like he could be on their radar?
He'd be like fifth or sixth round, right?
Like a flyer? Totally.
Yeah, a backup. I mean, that's backup quarterback position.
I'm not that inspired here. I know Jackson Dart has really, the draft process has helped him quite a bit. But, and you know, he had a good season at Ole Miss, so I can't kill him. But are people really excited about Quinn Ewers? Is that this injury history? Are you really excited about Riley Leonard, who's not much of a thrower? Will Howard put together a really good postseason tournament, but was he a second round pick before that?
Well, I think some of those guys are later. I would like Riley Leonard on my roster. He'd be a good backup to me. Will Howard gets some hype. It feels like every year he reminds me a little bit of Will Greer, the former West Virginia quarterback. this third round, there's this sweet spot of third round quarterbacks who just don't make it.
Well, they already have Mason Rudolph on the
roster, Mason Rudolph is the poster child for that exact quarterback. I feel like Will Howard is another one of him.
Well, that's not going to help you finally win a playoff game for the first time in 8 years. And we're talking about the
Pittsburgh
Steelers. Yeah.
Don't forget, there are a ton of Steelers fans who do not want Aaron Rodgers anywhere near that building. I see it on social media all the time. They don't want whatever Aaron Rodgers was in New York. They're afraid that guy's coming to Pittsburgh.
So here's the one thing about the Rodgers and McAfee interviews and the conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Do you think he would calm some of that down because of the respect for Tomlin? And I'm not saying that he didn't respect, you know, LaFleur, or that he didn't respect Robert Saleh. I'm just wondering, like, Tomlin, I think the Steelers, like, mystique, we're far from that. Let's do reality here, which is the Steelers, I think, have kind of fallen back to the pack. They're a little bit more like everyone else. No one can take away the Lombardis, but they haven't really been, you know, a Super Bowl contender in a long time. But still, I think that the respect for Tomlin from Rodgers is pretty healthy, and I wonder if he might tone it down a little bit. Like, is he going to be doing a second season of his Netflix documentary while also being a Steelers quarterback?
Oh, well, yeah, but I think you could do it. I mean, the Chiefs have a Netflix documentary going on at all times, I think the Bengals have one now, too. I notice a lot of cameras following
Joe Burrow.
That doesn't bother me necessarily. It's a play. I mean, I think they're worried that he's going to come in there and want his own system, and that he's going to have conflict with Arthur Smith, and he's not going to get along with the receivers, kind of like he did with Garrett Wilson in the Jets, and then he's going to be limping, and he's 42. I think there are a lot of Steelers fans who, I just keep noticing this, they're not as high on Rodgers as I would think.
But again, what's the alternative? You're going to be high on what, Jalen Milroe? I mean,
I would... If you're not going to, first of all, I agree with you. I would sign Rodgers if I were them. You might as well give it a shot. What's the downside? It's 1 year and then you start over again. And honestly, it's the boom or bust thing that I kind of like, because I'm sick of 10 and 7, just like you are. I don't even care if they make the playoffs. You got to either get really good or really bad. I cannot do any more of this middle ground.
Did you happen to see, so obviously we're here on the Infinity Sports Network, and we say good morning to all of our affiliates who we absolutely love and adore. Rich Eisen, who's also a part of this network, a huge part of this network, and we love the Rich Eisen show. I saw that Rich, I think this was last week or maybe over the weekend, he thought that Rodgers is getting $40
million. Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Because we had the report that Pittsburgh wanted to do a one-year deal. Is it for $40 million?
That was Rich, who's obviously, I mean, Rich is as plugged in as anyone.
Yeah.
And he just came from, you know, hosting all that combine coverage, and you know, he's got more contacts in the league than anyone. $40 million for Rodgers.
Well, that explains why Minnesota's not in at this time.
Yeah, and they've got J.J. McCarthy, so.
Well, right.
Palacero said when we played the sound last week from Jim Rome that there's nothing, no issue with financials.
Right.
Financials
they've worked it out.
They've been figured out.
Yep, that's true.
Well, Aaron Rodgers ain't retiring if there's a $40 million contract out
there
for him.
Hell no. You know how much ayahuasca you could buy with that? I don't even know how much that stuff costs.
Is there
even like a fee?
But I don't think it's just the drug. You need all the stuff around it.
Right. It's the flight to Costa Rica.
The bed and breakfast, the hippie, whatever they do.
You need a tent. Definitely have to have a tent.
You need a lot of buckets to throw up in.
Your bucket budget has got to be huge. And like some calm music. You're going to need some Bluetooth speakers. It can add up. But do you actually pay for the actual drug? Does anyone know this?
Oh, I'm sure there's a cost.
How much do you think that stuff costs?
Everything has a price, Maggie.
That's true. And don't you need like a guide, like a shaman or something?
I don't think you need one. I think it's probably better for you that you have one.
I think it's part of the experience. I had a friend who was hired to go down and translate for a ayahuasca shaman in, I think, Nicaragua or Guatemala. And it was a terrible
experience. Translate?
Yes, because basically, this woman was taking a group of 20 people down to somewhere in Central America to do ayahuasca, but she didn't speak Spanish.
Ah.
And my friend spoke Spanish to communicate with the shaman, who turned out, because he's been a jerk in Spanish for so many years, but the English-speaking tourists did not know that.
Wait, you can be a jerk and be a shaman?
Oh, yeah. Yes, big time.
Shamans have attitude?
Oh, my God. Some of the most unhealthy people of all time are gurus.
In it.
Yeah, you know, come on.
You know, like Zen and kind of like looking at the good in life.
Look at the bio of any sort of yoga guru or meditation guru, they all have these horrible affairs and things. They're the biggest group of phonies out there.
No. I mean, I watched the documentary about the Bikram yoga thing, yeah. But like, I'm talking about your run-of-the-mill shaman.
Oh, yeah. No.
But they're healers.
You don't get to be an alpha shaman without, you know, breaking some eggs, as they say. Yeah. They're not, Maggie, come on. Don't be so
naive.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I speak from personal experience because my uncle is part of the famous cult in Oregon.
Yes.
With the ultimate yogi. And of course, he, I think, had 85 Rolls Royces and slept with millions of women.
It's amazing, fun fact about Perloff. EJ, your face, yeah. You didn't know this? The Perloff's uncle, I'm speaking for you now, was in a cult. It's the Bhagwan from Oregon.
But EJ might not have seen it. It was a hot documentary about 8 years ago.
What? Is your uncle in the doc? Do you ever see footage? Because they have a lot of stuff.
No,
the 70s.
We looked for him. We looked for him, and we did not find him. I mean, there were thousands and thousands of followers.
They did crazy stuff. They like poisoned a salad bar, and like it got really crazy with the town gown relationship.
An allegation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Allegedly, they poisoned a salad bar, which is diabolical.
I would say the rule is if you become a yogi, you're doing it to sleep with women and make money. That is my take. Yeah.
That is amazing.
History shows that, this documentary is one of thousands of documentaries of this thing going wrong. I mean, cults.
And by the way, can we get a PS, like an update on your uncle? How's he doing?
Oh, he's fine. Yeah, okay. No, basically most of the cult dissolved in the 80s. So then it became more of a peaceful movement.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What happened to the Bhagwan with all the Rolls Royces and the...
It happened at the end of the documentary. The Bhagwan...
He didn't go to jail, did he?
No, I think he hid overseas, and I don't know if he ever got... He was definitely in legal trouble.
Sure.
What happened to the Bhagwan? Or he died? I got to look this up.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at how much it costs for ayahuasca. So it looks like I can only find out how much the retreat is. It's like... I'm seeing like $4,000 for a week.
I guess it's one of the things where you can't just buy like ayahuasca a la carte. You're going to have to go on the whole retreat. You got to get the whole package, I think.
You can't just get the tea and...
No,
take it back to your Airbnb
and
do
it. Works.
Yeah, probably not smart.
The El Bhagwan Rajneesh died in 1990. I think he evaded the law, but he was in all kinds of tax problems. That's another thing. Yogis don't pay their taxes. I've been telling people that.
Hey, you gotta be careful. Andrea, my fiance, is a yoga instructor.
Yoga instructors are good.
She does pay taxes.
Has she ever said? Has she ever called herself a leader of a movement?
No.
Yeah, once you're in charge, you know, it's like absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, what's that line?
To be fair, though, she has worked at some studios where the people owning it were very interesting people.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Wait, how did we get into this weird
cult?
We're
talking about Rogers, of course.
Oh, Rogers,
yeah,
Rogers.
With the shaman.
Right.
And I was
your wife doesn't do the kind of stuff that Aaron Rodgers does.
No.
That's what I'm talking about. That world.
Oh, okay.
I guess there's like levels to the shaman thing. Like, apparently, there's some guys just walking around blowing into a conch shell, and then there's other guys who are, you know, bilking you for all your life's savings.
Whatever you see on Rogers, I would pick the latter.
Maybe he needs the $40 million because he's supporting some kind of, like, shaman.
Actually, I think Rogers becomes a shaman at some point. I think that's his next. Forget. I think he does a little bit of color commentary, then he goes straight into Eastern philosophy.
First, he's going to call Browns Ravens on a Thursday night, and then he's going to go straight over
to Costa Rica to lead an ayahuasca trip.
Can I ask you guys a question? Maybe it's for the break, but I know both of you guys mentioned how the Aaron Rodgers Jets failure, you feel like, doesn't really affect his legacy. But what if he fails in Pittsburgh? Does that affect his legacy?
No. Nobody cares about the end. It doesn't matter.
Two places he fails.
High profile
Perloff, you said last week that this would be the biggest story in the NFL.
Just the Joe Namath, O.J. Simpson, Emmitt Smith. Well,
O.J. definitely messed up his legacy.
But not by going to San Francisco.
Yeah. The conversation Jerry Rice. About him being a shaman kind of balances out any football fails he'll have at the end of his career.
Yeah, trust me. He'll move the headline. Ray is right.
Yeah, burn enough incense. No one's going to remember Jack. I think the failing with the Jets, I think the Jets are going to wear a lot of that because the Jets are a punchline. Failing with the Steelers, especially, I think that hurts a little bit more.
I don't. Name a player who's ever been affected by that post-40 failures. Name
a legacy. Maybe Russell Wilson. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN.
Russell Wilson's 35.
I'm just saying, Russ, like, this is now the fourth team in 3 years.
Right. But I think I'm talking about the last gasp career. Try and name a player. I don't think Russ fits that, in my opinion.
Okay, got to take a quick break. 888-710-4ISN, so you can answer the Rodgers question there. Legacy's getting impacted, and do you think this is the best option for the Steelers? We're also asking about John Shire and Duke. To the Final Four, 3 years after taking over for Coach K, is it the credit go to Shire or just the Duke program? It's M&P, don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We just ended the last segment talking about Aaron Rodgers' legacy. Will it be hurt if he fails with the Jets and fails with the Steelers? Dude tore his Achilles, so I think that'll always be the story with the Jets. But I love this topic. The quiz about where did this guy finish his career is one of my favorite NFL games. I have one that history will forget. Right now, we all know it. But I think in 15 years, people are not going to remember Philip Rivers' last team.
Oh, in Indianapolis?
Yes, because it was as forgettable.
Made the playoffs, though.
Yeah, but I don't think people are going to remember that Philip Rivers spent 1 year in Indy. I just think that that goes into the waste bit of history. Kind of, you know, Johnny Unitas is one that people never really know. Then Joe Namath, famously, he was a Ram, right? Mm-hmm. Jerry Rice, nobody knows because he tried out for a couple teams at the end. What was his last team? I think it was Denver in training camp.
Oh, really? I thought it was the Seahawks, no? Was there another one after that?
Double check that. Somebody, I think he actually went to Denver and then didn't end up playing. Obviously, Johnny Unitas, Chargers.
Deion Sanders was with the Ravens, right, for a minute? I know he was.
He came out of retirement.
Yeah. But the quarterbacks, you know, a lot of quarterbacks retired playing for one team. I don't think anyone's going to care 40-plus with Aaron Rodgers. Nobody cares that Brady was not good as last year or that Brett Favre had a terrible last year. I think you forget 40. Do you think anything could affect it?
Well, very different than Brady because he won a Super Bowl somewhere else. Yeah. So that becomes like the greatest second act, you know, maybe ever with Tom Brady. A little bit different. Here's the thing about Rodgers. I think it probably depends how it goes. You know, the Steelers never bottom out. So what does failing look like, right? They're probably going to still win 9 games, 10 games. So I don't think it's going to be like as bad as it was with the Jets to win 5 games. When Zach Wilson has won more games than you, like that's not awesome.
But he's a 42-year-old guy coming off an Achilles. How can you possibly judge his career based on this? It is a tough, on an offense that hasn't been good since Antonio Brown left. I mean, they used to be great, actually. But yeah, it's been a long time. I don't think he can do any damage. I think the damage that he does is off the field to his legacy. I certainly think he can rub certain people in the media the wrong way because he's so opinionated.
I don't think it's just the media. I think fans.
Yeah, both.
Fans too. And we'll see because I think it's only going to, the volume, I think, has a possibility of only getting turned up on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of his relationship with RFK and what's going on with that. So, you know.
Oh, I mean, he is eccentric. There's no doubt about it. He's not for everybody. Then a lot of people love him. I just don't think whatever happens on the field. Plus, I think you nailed it. We all expect the same thing in Pittsburgh, right?
9 wins, 10 wins.
Yeah, 9 wins, 10 wins. Have some good games, have some bad games. Hopefully he stays healthy.
And that's about that. But, you know, not really befitting for a 4-time MVP. But again.
Listen, it's the exact way everybody goes out the same way. Nobody goes out throwing 50 touchdowns and 7 picks.
I know, because they'd give paid $40 million to somewhere else.
They keep coming back until it's burned out. That's the most common way to do it. I mean, Elway went out on top and Peyton went out on top, but Peyton had no arm left.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN. We get back to the Final Four in just a moment. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us.
Guys, as Ian Eagles said on CBS yesterday, all chalk on the Riverwalk. Auburn and Houston made it 4-1 seeds, reaching San Antonio. The Tigers survived Jani Broome's injury scare to knock out Michigan State 70-64. In the South Regional Final in Atlanta, Broome posting 25 points and 14 boards. His last points coming on a 3 after missing 5 minutes of game time late in the second half with right elbow and left leg issues. He needs further evaluation today. All that happened after Houston put Tennessee in a 69-50 chokehold. Rick Barnes unable to get the Vols into the Final Four for the first time in program history.
Houston, they do what they do. That's why they're where they are. That's where the standard of their program. First half obviously got away from us.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was 34-15 Cougars at intermission. Tennessee was shooting just 6-4-28. This will be Houston's 7th Final Four. Still looking for their first title. They will face Duke in the nightcap on Saturday. Auburn, Florida playing an all-SEC national semifinal first. The women's bracket, meanwhile, has just begun filling in its final four.
3.9 seconds. Inbounds to Flage across the timeline. The running three from the top of the key. No good off the left side of the rim. And what a difference a year makes for UCLA. They were ousted by LSU in the Sweet 16 in Albany. Here in the Elite Eight, they're victorious.
That's Lance Meadow on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. So UCLA getting revenge on LSU and reaching the first Final Four in school history with this 72-65 win. South Carolina back in the Final Four 5 straight years now after fighting off Duke 54-50. Tonight, it's Texas, TCU, then UConn and USC. Last night's Pistons-T-Wolves game got a little bit heated.
Nas fakes the handoff, keeps it himself, drives, he got fouled. Holland picks it up. And now Nas and Holland going at it. Dante steps in, and now both teams have to be separated here. Dante takes Holland right out of play. It's a pileup under the basket. It's gotten more than heated. And they are still going at it.
That's Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. Had this been a Knicks game, they would have been fighting in Dr. Rock's seats.
I mean, this, true. This right under the basket.
Yep. Rower too deep. And it was nasty at times. It was a little bit scary. And there was like a 12-year-old kid just sitting there letting all these men right in front of him have this crazy fight. I think a camera guy was at the bottom of all of this, too. It was pretty ugly.
I've seen one of these in a while.
That kid. He's like that.
Just watching
yeah,
it all happen.
Built, he's built for all this. He could have been a kid in the 90s.
I mean, I think the Pistons just, this is, they're an edgy team. I don't know if it's, you know, Minnesota also have some edgy players.
Both
but
of them do.
I think Detroit is like, this is the identity.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel,
these guys?
I'm starting to feel like I don't think a team wants to play them in the first round.
I think, by the way, I think a lot of this has to do with some hurt feelings on Dante DiVincenzo's part. As I saw in the AT&T ad, he's very upset. You know, it's March Madness. It's the Final Four. He's
nostalgic.
Going back to, he's missing his Villanova friends, and he's grumpy. And by the way, I totally disagree with everyone here. Me and Manny, that is the most awesome college tournament ad. I love that ad. The rest of the ads are terrible. That ad, which ran again a bunch of times yesterday, where DiVincenzo, oh, you do? Okay. Oh, I thought we were all dunking on Manny for crying during it.
Yeah, I mean, Manny.
Oh, I am still, yes.
Yeah.
This is a bogus beef that you're talking about.
Not to talk about sponsors in a bad way, because we're open for business here at the Maggie and Perloff Show, but I'm that certain credit card, I'll say it because I actually am a customer. I'm a Capital One customer. I've got a lot of stuff with Capital One. These commercials are getting more and more bizarre.
Even the magic blimp? Are you talking about the magic blimp? That was created in an ayahuasca trip.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, do you guys go to Costa Rica, the rainforest, for this one? Because
Maggie, you got to be thankful, though. You know why? Because you don't have a... What a pro wants.
Oh,
what a pro.
DJ, how dare you.
I mean, we got rid of that, right? Now we got those three OKC guys wearing the same suit. It's a lot more funnier. No singing involved. Because remember that last year? You could have had that.
Horrible. Horrible. It was Chet Holmgren and Shea singing.
The new one's fun, too.
The new one's way more palatable.
Yeah. But don't
for the rest
you guys watch,
year.
Like, again, I'm a Capital One customer. Very happy. Yeah. The app works well. I'm all about Capital One. But aren't you just like, why? I never understand why Jennifer Gardner's there. It still doesn't make sense all these years later. There's just this crossover thing. And, like, the irony is that Spike Lee is in these commercials. Like, they should be masterpieces. Clearly, he's not directing these things. The guy's an Oscar-winning movie director, and these commercials are just so dumb.
I'm actually curious. Kareem is now part of them.
Yeah.
A lot of Kareem puns. Kareem is not like Charles Barkley. I can't picture the set. He does not speak to other humans. Maybe the Hall of Famers he will.
Which is, ironic, because Kareem probably has the most memorable movie, like, scenes.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Like, way more than Charles. Like,
but he's
Kareem's been in three times as many movies.
He's a total curmudgeon. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been anything lately. Yeah, he's just totally... But Jennifer Garner, 100% approval rating. Who does not like Jennifer Garner?
Ben Affleck.
She's delightful. No, they're back together.
No, he's trying to get her back.
I know.
She's like, get out of here.
He likes her more than the rest of us. Yeah.
Wait, he's trying to get her back?
Yeah, that's been the big stuff on Page Six and Us Weekly.
EJ, you and I should have our own gossip show.
We should.
Maggie is always, I'm up on celebrity couples.
How did you guys hear about this?
I don't know.
Yeah, he showed up at I know this is a Marvel fan, but he showed up at the Deadpool and Wolverine, set when she was in the new movie, and he was there, and they thought he was there to another act. And she said, he said, no, he was there just to support.
Support Jen? Now?
But I think they have kids, right?
Yeah, right, of course they have kids, yeah. Right. Yeah. But still, I mean, like, this has been a long game of him trying to get back. And apparently, Jennifer's made it very clear through the outlets that she wants nothing to do
with
this.
Wait a minute. Why does Ben keep going back to the old flings? Like, he got remarried to J-Lo. Then that broke up. Now he's going back to Jen. Like, you're Ben Affleck, dude.
Well, you mean, to be fair, going back to those two Jennifers is pretty good.
No, I get it.
With an Anna de Armas mixed in between.
It's not like me going back to my grad school girlfriend, right, Maggie? I mean, this is like it's pretty big time stuff here.
There's also a lot of reports about him being on that high end dating app. Have you guys seen those?
Oh, Raya.
Yeah, Ben Affleck's
on a while.
Oh, that he's on Raya? Okay.
But you see, Pearl, that Johnny Wilson's on Hinge. That was something that came across this weekend, too. That the wide receiver for the Eagles. Like, it's just like his, like, picture. Like, it's him playing.
Well, that's how Jason Kelce met Kylie.
I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sent the line to him, if I was a UPS worker, could I hold your package? I'm like, damn, you really wanted to date this guy.
That's
a hell of a line.
Yeah. I saw this headline the other day. Nikki Glaser tried to date Ben Affleck on Raya just for the story, which I respect. That would have been.
It's got to be hard to be a celebrity and date in some ways, right?
How like, would
in
some you ways trust
it's
anyone?
Easy. Yeah, well, it's like athletes, right? You always think that some people are in it for a different reason, which is why a lot of people date their high school and college girlfriends, right? The ones who were with them before they got famous. But in some ways, it's easy. Yeah, your agent puts in a call and there you go. But also, like, you never know when the person's going to turn around and tell everyone about you, photos of you in bed. Like, weird. People are weird.
That's probably why Ben keeps going back to the Jennifers, too, because he's had experience.
Yeah, so but they keep failing.
I mean, he's failing, but
they are safe spaces.
Right.
That's what you're
saying. He has to deal with people leaking information and stuff about him. I guess he feels he's comfortable with that.
Do you guys think if you were super famous, would you want to date another famous person or an anonymous person?
An air quotes regular.
I mean, my dream when I was a kid was to date someone famous. But I don't know if I would feel that way now.
Like, I think Matt Damon's got the way better side of this than Affleck. He's married to someone who nobody knows, and it seems like the paparazzi pretty much leave him alone.
But if you're dating, you have to have somebody who has something to lose. If you're like a super A-list, you can't just date. You can't go out and date a normal person who could then blackmail you. That's my theory. Ooh. I've thought about this a lot. That's or a really point. Rich person. Somebody you can't be the only one in the relationship with a lot to lose.
Fascinating.
I don't know. This is
you
obviously not
going to
happen.
You get worried about blackmail a lot.
I think if you're a famous person,
about blackmail.
You've got a lot of plans for worst case scenarios.
I think if you're a quarterback, you have to date a famous person because you can't trust a civilian.
I think New York millennials have been jaded by Derek Jeter and wanting to have that life.
It can't exist anymore.
I know. But I think that's why, like, again, me growing up, it's like, oh, yeah, I want to be like Derek Jeter.
That's a forgotten era.
Not everybody, every guy growing up wants to be the, you know, date a million women. Nobody wants to get married at 23 like Kirk Cousins. That's not the
fantasy. I get that. But the Derek Jeter thing can't happen anymore because
let me ask this
camera phones. Yeah. Like, he could go out to clubs in New York and L.A. and no one would ever say anything. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, also had this earlier on where he could just date and no one, the stories were rumors and, you know.
Let me ask you this, EJ. Would you want to be The Bachelor? Is that part of your fantasy dating
life? Well, he loves that show, though, don't you?
I love the show. Yeah. But I've talked to Andrea a lot about this. I don't know. I feel like I would be...
Of course you have.
Boy, I don't want to watch any together, right? Yeah. I feel like I'd be terrible. I'd be a better bachelor than a contestant, if that makes sense.
Okay. You want to be the one who the women
as a
are
contestant,
fawning over.
I'm getting thrown out day one. Because I'm too scared to talk to the person. I wouldn't... like.
You talk to everybody.
Not women.
Oh, okay.
Not. I'm not like that. I'm not like that. Trust me.
Can I tell you one thing I think is kind of gross about The Bachelor? And I know it's like the editing.
Tell me something that's not gross about The Bachelor first, but go ahead.
Probably the VD. But no, I'm just saying, I think like the way they edit it is like you're basically making out with like four people, five people in a night.
Oh, yeah.
Bless.
That's holy mono.
Wait, that's the way they edit it? That's what's happening.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's happening. I don't know.
Because they're all at 2.7 blood alcohol level.
It's like one guy is like making out with a girl, and then she's like, "Can I steal him for a minute?" And it's like,
there's a great Instagram account, Bachelor Data, that will actually count how many kisses happen throughout a night or throughout the episodes, and sometimes those numbers get real high.
I'm just curious, why did you think that was an editing issue?
Well, they're shooting like all night long, right? So you make out with four people over the course of 16 hours. It makes it look like it's all within the course of an hour, which is like kind of a high clip.
So you're just thinking that they're more efficient.
So it's
than
fine.
You
if you can make out with five girls in a 16-hour and a long night. Yeah. But if it's within an hour, then that's too much for you.
Yeah, a little bit. Because it's like you're kind of making out with the whole room.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite 16 hours, but it's still just as gross. That being said, the new thing is they sleep together in the final four, and that is weird.
What's that
and they
new?
Talk
that's,
about
that's
it.
Been, that's been
right,
the
right,
fantasy
right.
Suites
but that, the first half of the bachelor, the old school bachelor, they didn't admit that they were having sex with each other. Now it's open.
But now it's become a big storyline, as you mentioned, because it's like, oh, like, you didn't tell me you slept with this person before you said I love you. Like, it's a big drama thing.
So they're proposing to a woman, even though they slept with someone this woman knows very well a week before. Maybe
but there are 8 hours
before.
In between, so it's fine.
But
it was fine.
Yeah. That's what the guy said. He said, don't look at me. Blame the editors on this one.
I said, if I don't get Jesse Palmer in between somehow, then it's just too much.
One guy was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be a good guy and, you know, just keep it even. I'm not going to sleep with anybody. And, of course, he slept with one of the women. And that woman didn't want win. So, of course, that was a whole thing.
And the woman who did not want to go to the fantasy suite, of course, did not win the whole thing. I could have seen that coming from a mile away. Am I right, EJ? Yeah, come on, I'm right.
That's how it goes.
Spoiler alert.
Well, she was using the Maggie time theory.
She's like, give me 5 hours.
Yeah. No, right before he's like, I am inviting you to the fantasy suite. She's like, no, I think our long-term relationship is more important. He's like, okay.
Like a trap door opened and she was never seen from again.
Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
And this is why Ben stays in the Jenniferverse.
Yeah. Off camera, you could hear him say, security.
Is Melissa still here?
Drag her away.
Hey, what's that? Oh, I hear the SUV pulling up.
It's like the tire screeching.
It's not like the Batmobile.
And then
Bank? It's like, no, she just won't put out.
He's like, this is the hardest choice I've ever made. And I said to my wife, is he winking right now? Because he clearly wants to be with the one who he slept with.
All right. Bogus Dynamite update. Got a little hijacked there. Lots more to do, including we get back to the Final Four. We've got Cowboys news for you. We got 49ers news for you. We'll get to all
that. And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
But next. Perloff Show. We get back to the Final Four in just a moment, but you know that music is time for the Cowboy Quickie. So Stephen Jones, along with everyone else in the NFL in Palm Beach for these meetings that are going on, you got a couple things here from the Cowboys. So basically they're feeling good about the Micah Parsons extension, Perloff.
Yeah.
But again, with the Cowboys, it's the actions, not the words here. They always wait. This thing should be pretty cut and dry. Seems like it should be simple. Parsons even said he'd take less as long as they, you know, allocate the money and try to get better players. Meanwhile, it's not done.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's probably going to get done, what, August 17th or something? I'm not too worried. It does seem like, I mean, how could this not work? Is there any possible... The fear is they overpay him, right? He's going to be a Cowboy for life. Listen, I want him to cut free and come back to my Eagles.
Yeah.
But to me, it feels like a fait accompli. Do you have any doubt that he's going to sign with the Cowboys? But I don't, and also, I don't see any issues. I really don't.
Well, here come the issues. If Micah Parsons ends up not going to training camp, and there's really no reason for it, right? Like, it's a mixed bag about whether or not, you know, not going to training camp leads to injuries and stuff like that. But you just don't need the distraction. We all know this is going to happen. If it drags into training camp, I think it looks bad for the Cowboys. More things from Stephen Jones. Says they're not done yet in free agency. Well, I don't really know who's left on the board. They need a backup quarterback. They said they will be looking in free agency. They lost Cooper Rush, signed with the Ravens. Dak Prescott's coming off a pretty significant injury, lower body injury, second time in, the last 4 years that he's had a lower body injury. Backup quarterback, listen, Cooper Rush has had to play some meaningful games for the Cowboys over the last couple seasons. Backup quarterback's important.
Yeah, really, though? I mean, that's what we're doing, if Dak gets hurt, what are we doing here? I mean, they might as well be bad again, right? What's the point? They're not going to have a Cooper Rush save the season this year. I'm worried about my Cowboys.
Your Cowboys.
My Cowboys, because I need the content. They have a ridiculous schedule next year. There's so many guys who are still coming off injuries. And again, they didn't really go all in. Even they're talking a big game this offseason, but they weren't really able to go all in. I don't know. I'm not so worried about the backup quarterback. What are the names they're throwing around? I haven't heard Flacco to them at all. I did hear, wasn't there a rumor that they were going to try and trade for Joe Milton? That's not going to happen.
I mean, names out there. There's not a lot of great names left.
Yeah, but they could get... Is Mariota signed anywhere? He feels like he's a backup everywhere.
He is.
Where is he?
In D.C. He decided to stay. Here's the thing. I'm not ruling out Cowboys go quarterback here with a significant pick. I don't know if it's going to be their first-round pick, but maybe in the second round, something like that. I think this is another throwaway season. And maybe they want to get into the Arch Manning sweepstakes, Pearl, but as you say, you know, you're not even sure that Arch is coming out after the first season.
The Cowboys do not want to be that bad. They have the highest paid quarterback, and they have the highest paid wide receiver, and they will soon have the highest paid non-quarterback. Now, there's no way. That is not an option. Do you think they could tank?
That's your Cowboy Quickie.
I think it's really...
Not on purpose.
I think it's really interesting. They have to add a skill player, right? So do they go running back or wide receiver? They've been drafting nothing but offensive linemen. I don't think Ashton Gentry's going to be there for them, but would they look at... They got to get some pizzazz on offense, right?
12th overall pick in the first round.
Ted McMillan could be there?
Would it be crazy if do they fall in love with like a Jackson Dart and try to say, hey, we've got the guy for the future if that gets hurt again?
I think that would be crazy.
Okay, coming up, you got some controversy in Major League Baseball in the Final Four.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.